Hello, and welcome to the Managing IP Awards podcast, exploring the success stories behind our awards winners. I am Joanna Yang, the editor for Asia Law and Benchmark Litigation Asia. Today, we focus on an Australian firm who won two prizes at our MIP Asia Awards in 2020. Davies Collison Cave, or DCC, took Patent Prosecution Firm of the Year for Australia and Boutique Firm of the Year for the whole region. With offices in Singapore and New Zealand, as well as Australia, they provide a valued services across the region. I am joined by three members of the team today. Michael Wollneiser is the DCC Group Managing Principal and Practices in all areas of trademark law. Michael manages the trademark portfolios of numerous Australian and multinational companies. Michael has particular expertise in internet-related trademark and copyright issues, and he heads up Davies Collison Cave's domain name practice group. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, Joanna. It's great to be with you today.
David Weber is the managing principal of DCC Patents and specializes in patent, design, and copyright advice. He was a member of the Australian government's Professional Standards Board for Patent and Trademark Attorneys from 2006 to 2012. David, good to meet you.
Thanks, Joanna. It's terrific to meet you.
Chris Jordan is the managing principal of DCC's associated law firm, Davies Collison Cave Law. His major area of practice is intellectual property litigation. He has more than 30 years of experience in patent, trademark, design, copyright, trade practices, and confidential information litigation on behalf of both applicants and respondents. He is the former co-chair of the Intellectual Property and Entertainment Committee of the International Bar Association. And welcome to you as well, Chris.
Thanks very much, Joanna.
Gentlemen, congratulations on your award wins at the MIP Asia Awards.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Before we get into some of the interesting matters your firm handled in 2020, let's get an idea of DCC's IP practice, particularly how it is structured and the kinds of clients you act for. Michael.
Thanks, Joanna. Our IP practice essentially comprises three firms. First of all, we have Davies Collison Cave Law Proprietary Limited, which we abbreviate to DCCL. They're an Australian law firm dealing in IP litigation, commercial and licensing matters. Then we also have Davies Collison Cave Proprietary Limited and Davies Collison Cave Asia PTE Ltd. Both of these are patent and trademark attorney firms operating in Australia and New Zealand and Singapore, respectively. The core business of DCC and DCCL is the protection of innovation and creativity and securing patents at trademarks and designs, as well as trade secrets, copyrights, domain names, plant breeders' rights, and circuit layouts. For DCCL, the big part of the practice is IP disputes and litigation, as well as licensing and related legal and commercial matters and tax and property matters. The clients we act for are extremely diverse. Bearing in mind that innovation and new products come from all areas of business, our clients range from large multinational corporates, global brands, world-leading educational and research institutions, all the way through to small SMEs and individuals who may have devised the most amazing new product in their garage. So some of our better-known clients include Novartis, Microsoft, BAE Systems, Pfizer, Telstra, Orica, Wesfarmers, Monster Energy, Illinois Toolworks, Black & Decker, the Coles Group, and Hermes.
Wow. David, why is it structured that way?
Well, Joanna, we basically started as a small Australian patent and trademark attorney firm, working almost entirely for small local clients, local government institutions, and Australian companies who had significant R&D development centres. Now, as we developed that local client base, of course, most of those clients had activities overseas, or interested in having activities overseas. So we were sending work overseas, and over a long period of time developed long-standing relationships with a number of overseas firms who then relied on us to assist their overseas clients in Australia. And over that time, we then grew significantly. And in fact, we now represent such a significant share of the market in Australia. We've grown past most of our competitors. And having done that and having that significant market share in Australia, we've now decided to branch out. And essentially 6 years ago, we opened, first of all, an office in Singapore, which is DCC Asia as part of our Asian expansion and part of an important long-term strategy for us. And, of course, with a growing and more affluent population in Asia that includes a large young demographic, Asia, particularly Southeast Asia, has become an increasingly important jurisdiction for all our clients. And we've also now opened in New Zealand because, although we've a long time acted in New Zealand and a significant filer in that country, we've now started to represent a number of the local clients in that market. And it's becoming increasingly important for us too. So that's essentially DCC and DCC Asia. DCCL is Davies Collison Cave Law, which Chris manages, is a long-standing firm, actually, and was established really to help our clients in areas of IP commercialization, litigation, IP transactions. And we now increasingly advise on transactions such as M&A transactions, where IP is an important part of that transaction. And to cater for this, we've recently expanded our commercial team to include advice on business structures, tax, and wealth management, in addition to the significant litigation, patent and trademark litigation strength that we have within DCCL. So essentially, we're structured in this way so we can really offer a complete holistic service to clients in relation to IP and also to comply with the regulatory environment in each of the jurisdictions in which we operate.
Lovely. It's great to learn a bit about the practice. Let's hear about some of your success stories or achievements in 2020. We understand there may be an issue of confidentiality or other related issues around some of your key case studies. Which case studies would you like to share with us today?
Well, Joanna, there's been a number of significant pieces of patent litigation we've been involved in over the last year or so. But one matter I would specifically like to talk about is the Bayer matter, which was handled by a number of my colleagues. Bayer is a company that DCC has acted for since the early 1900s. In that case, which was a patent infringement suit against a number of generic companies, Bayer was asserting a patent covering its high-selling oral contraceptive products, Yasmin and Yaz, and in defending the relevant Bayer patent covering those products. We were successful in firstly amending the patent after institution of proceedings, which is a novel strategy now being adopted by a number of firms. We were then successful at trial and establishing infringement and validity. We successfully defended that verdict in the full federal court, which is the equivalent of the US Federal Circuit, on both the infringement and validity issues. We then again defended that verdict in an application to appeal to the Australian High Court, which is the equivalent of the US Supreme Court. Following that, we had further hearings on damages and were successful in a damages trial in recovering damages of approximately $32 million plus legal costs. And we successfully defended that verdict in the full federal court. We're currently in the process of recovering the very significant legal costs which Bayer are due for the various liability trials and appeals and in relation to the damages trials and appeals.
Are there some other examples of work you have done recently that you want to talk about?
Yeah, there certainly is, Joanna. For example, in the patent space, particularly over the last, or I guess more than 12 months now, but particularly since the pandemic started, as I mentioned before, we act for a number of universities. We also act for a number of large pharmaceutical companies. And it's been quite exciting to see, I guess, a lot of the research now being applied to, varying agents and compositions for treating or inhibiting the development of the coronavirus infections, of course. And, we've worked with clients on their patent protection for that. One particular example is certainly a very fast test for COVID-19 itself. So that certainly sped up testing, which was terrific. One of our local clients got that protection for that. And I guess over a significant period of time, we've been working on a particular form of molecular clamp technology for one of the vaccines. So, yeah, look, it's been very, very exciting.
Sounds very interesting. Yeah, indeed. Okay, Chris, Can you briefly explain the recent trademark matters that you were working on?
Sure. Thanks, Joanna. On the trademark side of the practice, the last 12 months has been really busy. We've acted in a large number of significant matters. Some highlights have included major trademark litigation for significant international pharmaceutical and life sciences companies, trademark litigation for very significant local and international players in the food and beverage industries, a trademark and designs litigation for large Australian and overseas building and construction supply companies, and some major trademark litigation for large Australian retailers. And we also have, over the last 12 months, run quite a large number of trademark protection and enforcement programs for significant global players, including luxury goods companies, companies in the entertainment, toy and media industries, and major food and beverage players.
Thank you, Chris. And Michael, given the events of last year, how did DCC pivot as a firm to continue servicing your clients?
Well, Joanna, like all companies, we had to adapt very quickly. As a firm, we got our entire staff set up and working from home within the number of weeks, and we were able to continue to service all of our clients all around the world with virtually no disruption. You know, some of our staff had never worked from home before, so this was certainly a challenge, but one that all our staff rose to beautifully. As a firm, though, we saw this as an opportunity to reimagine the firm for the future and embrace technology at a pace that we would never have dreamt of but for the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. Can you pick out up to two key highlights of 2020 from a firm-wide perspective? For example, is there any big development in 2019 that has improved your firm or is likely to do so in the near future?
Gosh, it's been such a big year that it's difficult to pick two highlights from the achievements over the year. Certainly our pivot during the first half of 2020 was amazing. And I'm exceptionally proud and grateful for how all our people adapted so smoothly and how our people have continued to support each other over the last 12 months. In addition to that, though, I particularly enjoyed the impressive level of engagement amongst our principals and the growth of our local client base in Singapore. Indeed, we now act for a very large proportion of the IP originating community in Singapore, which is fantastic, and we've only had an office there for about 6 years. Other highlights, though, include the opening of our office in New Zealand and the expansion of our commercial and tax and wealth management practice in Australia, and the addition of our client liaison principal, Kenneth Ung, in the US, who has allowed us to continue with our business development in North America while we've not been able to actually set foot on the ground there for over a year.
Okay. David, how do you go about making sure your work or advice meets the client's needs or serves the client's best interests?
Yeah, Joanna, this is actually critical to how we operate. And very early on in the piece, when we established engagement with a client, we need to work out, I guess, how best to openly collaborate with a client. And look, we have a range of communication tools to assist with that. But it's critical quickly and as fast as we can to understand where that client is and where they want to head and what they want to achieve. And that, of course, is quite a broad brush for commercialization and what they want to get out of the engagement. And we have such a diverse client base that it's we need to cater for all different types of clients and different ways they wish to collaborate. Once we have that established, we can then clearly guide a client through the myriad of options available when dealing with and securing IP rights.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Michael, do you use innovative processes or tools when assisting clients?
Joanna, we recognize that our clients need to manage their IP rights within time and budgetary constraints. Our service and advice is always delivered with those constraints in mind. So to assist, we've implemented a number of specific initiatives. I'll just mention a few. First of all, we use a trademark search platform that allows us to perform a worldwide screening search in a matter of seconds. It also uses an AI algorithm to provide a risk assessment on the back of those results. This provides a very significant cost and time saving, particularly for screening searches as compared to, you know, traditional methods. Secondly, we've developed a tool to extract data from IP Australia's trademark database, and this considerably reduces the time required to prepare trademark reports for our clients. Thirdly, we've identified savings for several multinational clients in their processing of their patent applications by arranging for patent examination to be automatically requested at bespoke intervals for those clients. And finally, we've developed a centralized processing of patent applications in the Australia, New Zealand and Southeast Asian region, where the claims of the Southeast Asian cases are amended to conform with those allowed in another jurisdiction prior to examination. This streamlines processing before individual patent offices in the region and expedites allowance in Southeast Asian countries.
It is no secret that your firm is part of the Quantum Intellectual Property Group. Does this make your firm completely different compared to an independent IP firm in your jurisdiction? If so, how?
Joanna, there are both similarities and differences. The differences are that our business structure and earnings are completely transparent, and we also now have access to considerable capital for investment in our people and in technology to better service our clients. Indeed, we are currently in the middle of a technology transformation project, which we expect to deliver a significant advantage over other firms who perhaps do not have the will or the capital to invest so heavily in technology. Our people are also shareholders and can enjoy the growth in that asset while receiving dividends.
Thank you, Michael. David, what's your prediction about the Australian IP landscape in the next 10 to 20 years?
Wow, the next 10 to 20 years. I'll get out my large crystal ball for that. Look, we are quite fortunate in that, Australia is, you know, a sort of a large, from a physical sense, country and growing multicultural country with a very highly educated population that's always been innovative. We've also been extremely lucky to weather the pandemic well. Our federal and state governments have combined, in certainly in my view and others' views, extremely well to, protect the country from the pandemic to the extent that we're now able to sort of freely travel domestically. And that's given people a lot of confidence coming out of the pandemic. We've always been a confident country, but it's now given people more confidence. And we've seen a lot of, we're now seeing increasing investment, particularly in, medical applications, medical services, and other areas of R&D, IT as well. And look, as part of that, IP education services will continue to evolve and improve to meet the economic needs of Australia and to look after what is currently being developed and will continue to be developed, I think, for the next 10 to 20 years. So, yeah, look, it's quite exciting. I can see this country really going forward now and developing certainly some niche local productions. We're now producing vaccines ourselves, which we would normally source from offshore. So, yeah, look, it really is going to be exciting, I think, for the next 10 to 20 years. Support for IP development and commercialization will be essential for thriving and a sophisticated economy. And we are, you know, investing for that future and to be part of that growth.
Sounds there a lot to look forward to. Great. Your firm has been in existence for over a century, and it is seen as one of the leaders in the Australian market. Your firm also picked up the Boutique Firm of the Year for its work in the Asia Pacific region. How have you maintained your position in this market, particularly for IP filing and prosecution work, Michael?
Exceptional service, I think, and an unwavering commitment to excellence for everything that we do for our clients is the hallmark of the DCC, DCCL experience. We rely on the reputation and our brand to attract clients, whilst we're also active in local and overseas IP and other industry organisations. I think building trust and loyalty amongst our, you know, brilliant people has established an environment that naturally attracts clients who wish to be part of that culture. We also have a history, a long history indeed, of thought leadership within the IP community. Many of our people hold senior positions in IP organisations, such as INTA, APAA, IPTA, Marks, IBA, and FICPI. We also support education within the IP profession by lecturing in courses conducted by universities and other institutions, as well as speaking at IP organization events locally and internationally. Our strength really is our people, the experience and expertise of those people. This has established over many years a widely recognized reputation and brand that represents excellence and collegiality. We care about our people deeply, and they in turn care deeply about their clients. I think essentially people trust our brand.
Well, that wraps up this exploration of an exciting firm providing an invaluable service. I think our audience would agree that the awards win was well-deserved. Don't forget you can find out more about the MIP Awards in Asia, Europe, and the Americas at managingip.com. That's it from me, but I want to thank Michael, David, and Chris. Thank you, gentlemen. Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks, Joanna. Thanks
very much. Bye-bye.